This Labor Day weekend, Pennsylvania Avenue will be home to the 69th annual North American Chinese Invitation Volleyball Tournament. It's the Super Bowl of a sport better known to its players as nine-man, a volleyball offshoot with nine players instead of six, at least two-thirds of whom must be 100% Chinese. One of those teams is the New York Strangers. Only a game reporter, Christine Laskowski, watched them prepare for the big event.
It's 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning, and I'm at Seward Park in the heart of Manhattan's Chinatown neighborhood. There are two volleyball courts where the Strangers' ladies and men's teams are hard at work practicing for the Nationals. The men's court, though, has an extra yellow line around the perimeter, about a foot wider than a standard six-player volleyball court. It's referred to as the nine-man line, and it's a point of pride for Strangers president Danny Moy.
We worked together with the Parks Department to give us permission to paint the nine-man court. I think this is the only nine-man court that's in New York City.
The Strangers aren't the only team in town, which puts the court in pretty high demand. Other Chinatown teams, and even one from Brooklyn, come to use it. In fact, most of the cities participating in the national tournament have multiple teams. The Boston Knights, Montreal Freemasons, Toronto Flying Tigers, San Francisco Rage, Houston Lone Stars. These are just a few of the 55 men's nine-man teams set to compete this Labor Day weekend. Strangers founder Rick Lung is looking forward to it. Rick immigrated to the U.S. from China back in 1982. He remembers what it was like in those days.
We are new immigrants, and then, you know, in a new area. You know, everything's new to us. You know, we got no friends. You know, when we got here, we got no friends. You know, nothing, nobody. And then I was living around, you know, by the park over here, Seward Park, because I was just living on East Broadway. So, and I started coming out to the park, and then I meet some friends. They're from Toisan, right? And they all know how to play volleyball, but I don't know how to play.
Many of us think of Chinatown as a great neighborhood to visit for authentic dumplings and dim sum. But historically, Chinatowns existed as urban ghettos for Chinese laborers. Volleyball was cheap and provided an outlet for laborers who didn't enjoy the luxuries of vacation time and travel. In fact, many of Nine Man's rules and traditions can be traced to the resourcefulness and necessity of those early years. Without access to a proper ball, players would sometimes use a rolled-up towel instead. Labor Day weekend was also the only extended period of time teams from different Chinatowns could get together and compete, which is how the first national Chinese volleyball tournament began in Boston, all the way back in 1944. The spirit of the Labor Day tournaments was less about who won or lost, but about the friendship and community among Chinatowns. Strangers player Mike Fan tells me it's an attitude among nine-man players that's still strong today.
I like traveling, and I like traveling with my friends and my teammates and playing in different cities. I think San Francisco has a beautiful venue. It's a really different city than New York. LA is always fun just to, you know, explore. We usually go, my friends and I, we go a week ahead and we explore this, everything in LA, and then we play, you know. So you make it an event, or it kind of enhances Labor Day. It gives you something to do and plan around.
But according to Mike, who is originally from D.C., the move to have the upcoming tournament on Pennsylvania Avenue and not in Chinatown is bittersweet. For a sport created due to isolation, there's a new challenge to keeping it alive. Gentrification.
There's no Chinatown in D.C. There's one block. There's an archway, and then you walk through the archway, and then there's nothing behind it. Ever since they built the Verizon Center on top of the old Chinatown, it's pretty much 99% gentrified.
Even Nine Man's most controversial rule, that two-thirds of the players must be 100% Chinese and the rest of Asian descent, may be changing. Danny Moy says that as more Nine Man players have families with non-Asians, it's become more difficult to enforce a rule that excludes people from sharing the tradition with their kids.
People want to try it. They're curious. They want to see. And especially volleyball players or non-Asian volleyball players would like to really try to get into interaction. And, you know, maybe later on, maybe we'll host a tournament just for non-Asians, just to give them a feel of how it is, let them play the same rule we play. And, you know, hopefully we'll do that as a hosting team next year. We'll see.
Over the course of several Sundays, as I watched 15 and 50-year-olds help and harass each other in English, Cantonese, and Toisanese, I definitely got the sense that while everyone wants to win, Nine-Man and the upcoming tournament in D.C. is not just about coming home a champion. Mike Fan assures me that it's so much bigger than that.
What Nine-Man means to New York and Chinatown, I think it has a really big role in that, in, you know, fostering tradition and heritage, and just, you know, it's a celebration through volleyball of community. And then on the youth side, I think it's a really good way for them to get mentorship and learn through sports from older players, and it's just the cycle that repeats itself.
For Only a Game, I'm Christine Laskowski in New York.
Only a Game is produced by Karen Given and Doug Trabue. Special thanks to Martin Kessler and to Teresa Gennaro, turf writer and superb guide. Our technical director is John Ferrati, and our senior producer is Gary Wallach. Our final word comes from a 1974 episode of The Odd Couple, in which Bobby Riggs puts the hustle on Oscar Madison.
Tell you what, I'll bet you for Felix. That Felix?
Yeah, you know, he does the washing, the cook, and takes care of stuff, you know.
Oh, Bobby, you'll like Felix.
Will Bobby win? Only if he wants to. I'm Bill Littlefield. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next week.
Support comes from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live healthy, productive lives, at gatesfoundation.org. The Melville Charitable Trust, supporting solutions to prevent and end homelessness, on the web at melvilletrust.org. And the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, making grants to solve social and environmental problems at home and around the world, on the web at hewlett.org. This is NPR.